Okay. Great. Okay. So, welcome to the call. So let me go through the instructions again. We've officially started the call. For those of you that called in a little late, let me just give you an update. Let me do some getting ready for the call, and then we're going to jump into it. First of all, the purpose of this call is for me to help give you guys coaching as to specific things that you need help with. Well, the best thing to do is to email me ahead of time. If you email me during this call, I'm not going to be able to get that email. So on the Power Program website, there's a place that you can hit an email. It ask a question, it gets sent to me, and then I print it out. I make my notes as to what I'm going to cover. So we have a bunch of power agents on the call that have done that already, and I'm going to address their call. And they gave some really, really great questions. I'm very excited about the questions that they asked me because I know I can help them with that. The other thing is, for those of you, what we're going to be doing on the call is there's a magazine that's on the website. It's a digital magazine. It's about 40, 50 pages. I'm going to go through maybe 15, 20 of those pretty quickly. If you're not in front of a computer, you won't have access to the magazine. But I'm recording this call, and we'll post the recording on the website so you can later on listen to the call and reference the magazine. The last thing that I want to say is that some of you tried to get into the website with your username password, and it didn't work. And the reason why it didn't work is because WordPress is the platform that we use for our website, and they're having a worldwide problem. Anybody that has WordPress, they're having technical problems when it comes to membership sites that people can't log in, and they're fixing it. So it's not them, I mean, it's not us, it's them. So, all right, with that said, let's get the call started. Now, the rest of you, it's really easy to get distracted during a call, so I'm going to ask you to kind of get focused and just give me the next 55 minutes attention so I can help you the best way. Fanny, are you on the call with us?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Fanny. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Daryl?
Good, hon. So where are you located, by the way?
Livingston, New Jersey.
All right, a Jersey girl. All right, so now Fanny, I meant that as a little joke, Fanny. You didn't give me any love on that.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
I try not to talk too much so I can let you talk.
Oh, well, that's very sweet. If you need a 5 hour, go take one right now. Okay, wake up, Fanny. Okay, so Fanny, here was your two questions, and then I'm going to tell you what my answer is to them. Everybody, Fanny's question was, for sale by owners, the owner said he didn't see any value in a listing agent. He could see the value in paying a buyer's agent, and you didn't know what to tell him over the phone to show the value of a listing agent. So
Right.
Fanny, so I'm assuming that, and you had a second question, but let me just cover the first one. So it sounds like that you were calling this FSBO trying to get in the door, and that's why he didn't let you in because he doesn't want you to come over and list the property. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so Fanny, great question. Everybody, why I was excited about Fanny's question is because one of the things that we really need to be focusing on going into the coming months is increasing our listing inventory. There's so many reasons for that. On a national level, we've seen a shrinking in inventory, but the buyers are out there. The buyers are coming out. The summer months, more buyers coming out. So, you know, the good thing is that buyers are becoming more urgent than buying a house because they see that, you know, the market has changed. The drawback is that we have fewer listings, and which is creating more demand, which is also good, but we need to get listings. So, Fanny, first of all, I'm really glad about your question. I'm glad that you're working FSBOs. Here's my answer to your question. When you're calling a FSBO, Fanny, you do not want to allude to you're coming over to list their house. Okay? The only reason why you're calling them is to see the house and see how you can help them. When they want to start to talk about When they want to start to talk about, well, we don't want a list, or we think it's better to work with a buyer, just bring us a buyer and then we'll pay you a commission. You want to just respond with, okay, that's great. I like to come over and see what you have so I can be more intelligent about the property and plus maybe give you some suggestions on maybe how I could help you. So you want to kind of really get off of the conversation on the phone that you're coming over to list the property. Now, if you want, Fanny, we can role play. Do you have a specific call? By the way, those of you that didn't mute yourself, which I'm glad you didn't, the other people I called your names out, just be aware of it. The phone's very sensitive, so even if you move the phone, we can hear it, okay? So, Fanny, do you want to role play that FSBO call? Make believe you're the FSBO and I'm calling you?
Sure, sure.
Okay, you sure you're up to it?
Yeah, sure. I'll
all right, Fanny. I want you to give me the same objections that the FSBO gave you that you called, if you can remember. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, ring, ring. Answer the phone, Fanny.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. I'm calling about the house for sale.
Yeah.
Is it still available?
Yes, it is still available.
Well, hi, ma'am. This is Daryl Davis. I'm calling you from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed your ad, and I was wondering, are you working with agents at all in the sale of your property?
I'm not going to list, but if you have a buyer, then I'm working. You know, I'll give like a 2%, 2.5% commission.
Oh, okay. Super. That's great. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the ads. Now, by the way, pay attention now what I just did. So, Fanny, you just said what you said. You know, we're not listing. I'm going to pay a 2% commission. My response was, oh, okay, that's great. So I'm looking at a copy of the ad, Fanny, and the house sounds really nice. By the way, did you write this ad?
Yes.
Yeah, well, no, you did a really good job. It caught my eye, is my point, which is a good thing. I see that it's 3 bedrooms and 2 baths and the living room. How big is the property? I didn't see that here.
Oh, well, it's about 2,500 square feet.
Okay, that's the house itself, 2,500
right.
square feet.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good size. And the lot that it's on, do you know the dimensions roughly?
Sorry, it was a condo, so.
Oh, it's a condo. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. It's a condo.
Yes.
All right. So it's an ad with a condo. Okay. So it's good. It's really nice, Fanny. Can I ask you? Is it side by side condo or upstairs downstairs? What?
It's a side by side.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, that's great. And now I know these condos over here are usually they were built about 10 years ago. And did you do any changes to the inside of it when you moved in?
We just freshly painted the inside.
Uh huh. Okay, that's good. That's good. Anything else?
Well. That's it. We just,
okay.
Put it the way it was.
Super. Well, here's what I like to do, Fanny. Like I said, the ad sounds really nice. I'm familiar with the units. What I like to do is, would you be offended if I came by to take a look at it, see what you've got, and see how I might be able to help you with this?
Not right now. I'm very busy, and I'd rather, if you do have a buyer, then you come over.
I
can make an arrangement for you to see it, but otherwise I really don't want to waste your time or my time.
You know what? I so appreciate that because I appreciate that you're concerned about my time, and I am yours. I definitely don't want to waste mine, and I don't want to waste yours. But you are selling the property, and I understand that you want to try and do this on your own. But the purpose of me coming over, it's just like, selling a house is like, how does that expression go? You can't judge a book by its cover, So there's plenty of buyers that I do work with that it's important that I get informed about what the property looks like before they even want me to show it to them. So I do understand you want to try and do it on your own. I'm not going to try and come over and convince you to do anything you don't want to do. But I do want to see what you have and see how I can help you. So just look at me like you would any other buyer appointment. But the difference here is I could have several buyers. So like letting me in is like letting like several people in at one time. So does that make sense?
Well, that was good, Daryl. I wish I had said that.
You wish you had said. That's all right, Fanny. Well, listen, here's the
good.
Good thing.
Okay.
Now, here's the good thing. What I wanted you to see is that as soon as you gave me the objection up front that, listen, we're not working, well, I'm not listing, we'll pay you 2%, I didn't address it. I said, okay, that's great. And then I started talking about the property. And and I will say, Fanny, this is important. I didn't talk about the property on this role play as much as I would have in real life. So in real life, because I didn't really have the ad and I didn't know what condo complex, I didn't know how old it was. So all of that information, the reason why you want to talk about the property is because that's a rapport building. And the better you are at building the rapport and the trust, the easier it will be to get in the door. So you don't want to rush the call. You want to, like, I made this call shorter than what it would have been in real life. You really want to talk about anything that they did to improve it, how many bedrooms, is it a corner unit, where about in the complex is it? And then I might have asked, I'm just curious, are you staying in the development or are you moving into a house or out of state? I would have asked those questions about where they're moving to. So all of this is rapport building. Do you understand? And the better you are at that, the much easier it is to get in the door, okay? Now, the good thing, too, here is I recorded this role play that we just did, so it's going to be on the website next week sometime. So if you want to listen to it again and make some notes, you can do that, okay?
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I want to give you some extra material you didn't ask for, but this is for everybody because everybody listening, like whenever I'm addressing somebody's question like Fanny's, I know that there's, you know, you all are on the call looking for your own values, so I'll try and go beyond the question so I can give you other techniques. And here's an example of that. Now, Fanny, when you are on the listing appointment, and if the homeowner says, you know, well, I don't want to list and we'll pay a 2% commission or whatever to the selling agent, there's a couple of things I want you all to remember. Number one, the fact that they're willing to pay the broker side commission, that's you're like halfway home. They've already bought into that 2% or 3%, whatever they say in the market. So you don't have to sell them on your full commission. You just got to sell them on the other half of the commission they haven't bought into. So just to be real clear on this, if you're in a market where the average commission is 4%, you're not going over to sell 4. They've already committed to 2. So you just got to get them to buy into the other 2%, which is the listing side and why that's valuable to them. That's a much easier appointment. That's number one. Number two is I'm going to give you two techniques when a homeowner says, we'll pay 2% to an agent and that's it. So bring us a buyer, we'll pay you. The first thing I might say, Fanny, is this. You know, Fanny, if you had a daughter and you were going to have, you know, she's going to get married and you want the best wedding cake possibly for your daughter. So what you do is you go to 6 different bakers and you say to each baker, listen, my daughter's getting married. I want the best wedding cake that money can buy. But here's the thing. I want you to bake the cake for me. And whichever one of the 6 of you does the best job, that's the cake I'm going to pay for. My question is, Fanny, how many of these 6 bakers are going to start baking a cake for you?
Nobody.
Nobody, right? Because I didn't commit to any one baker and say, here's my money, here's my commitment, bake me a cake. It's the same thing here. When you're saying to the real estate industry, whoever brings me a buyer, that's the one I'm going to pay, you don't have any one agent committed to getting the job done properly for you. But it's even worse than that. You know, if let's say somebody was suing you, and those of you that have attended my seminars recently, you might have heard this one. This is one of my favorite ones. If somebody was going to sue you, Fanny, and let's say you would go to court to defend yourself. First of all, would you go without an attorney? Would you?
No.
No, probably not, right? You'd want an attorney. But let's say you went without an attorney, and on top of that, the person coming after you, they have an attorney, and you're going to pay for their attorney. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense that you would go without your own attorney and you'd pay for the plaintiff's attorney? Of course not, right? Well, that's exactly what you're doing here, because any agent that comes in to show your property and sell it, you're paying 2% to that buyer's agent. That buyer's agent is representing the buyer. So technically what you're doing is you're paying a licensed trained agent by the state of New Jersey to work against you. Now, I am not the smartest person in the world, but I don't think that's the best business model for you. So if you're willing to do that, why don't you pay the other 2% for me to be your representation with that other agent? And that way you've got somebody in your corner working out for your best interest. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right, good. Is this helping you at all?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
All right,
much,
good.
Darryl.
Yeah, well, here you have your second question. So let's do that. And then Chris Bravada, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Darryl.
Good morning, Chris. You're up next, okay? Okay, so Fanny's other question was, called and expired. The owner said that they were planning to relist with the same agent. The agent listed is a top agent in the area. So, you know, you didn't have any ammunition to deal with as far as that agent being a top agent. Okay. So here's my feeling, Fanny, whenever you call an expired, if they say, you know, we're planning on relisting, my philosophy was two things. Number one is I would say to them, you know, that's really great. I'm really glad at least you're staying in with a realtor, which I think is really important. And I think if you feel comfortable and you like this other agent, I think that's really awesome. I'm so behind that for you. But can I make a suggestion? And what I would say to the homeowner is, you know, the fact that they're a top agent probably doesn't mean anything, because what's really important is whether they were a top agent for you. And if they didn't get the job done, I mean, if you're happy with the service and you believe in them, then you should continue doing that. But my suggestion is, there's that old expression, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. And I would hate to see for you that another 6 months, you end up where you are right now after the first 6 months. Like in any scenario, it's just really good business that if you get a second or third opinion, based on what you know now of the process of selling a home, it may behoove you to just interview a couple other agents to get a better sense of, you know, compare and shop their strengths and weaknesses. The worst thing that'll happen is by me giving you my take on how to get your property sold, that might actually help you in your relationship with your current agent if you continue to still list with them. So I don't see anything good, but anything bad, only good coming out of us at least meeting and having a conversation and just sharing some distinctions for you. Does that make sense?
I think that's a good one, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Okay, good. All right, great questions, Fanny. Okay, stay focused. Keep working, keep prospecting. Good job, hon. All right. Chris Bravada, here's you're up, buddy. And then Natalie, if you're on the call, you're up too. So, Chris, you're starting the real estate business on a part-time basis. What should you be commanding most of your attention and effort on during this part-time period until I'm able to commit full-time to my business? So, Chris, how long have you been in real estate?
Yeah, I've had my broker's license for about 5 years, but I really haven't been practicing.
Okay. And what kind of profession are you, what are you doing now full-time?
I work for a nonprofit in a senior sales position. And I have,
okay, cool.
I've got family medical issues, which is causing me to work full-time and do the real estate part-time.
You don't have to explain. That's fine. You know, the thing that a lot of new agents aren't told when they get into real estate is that you really need to have about 6 months of cash to weather the new career. And so if you have the ability to, you know, there's plus and minuses if you've got another full-time job, so that helps take care of some of the money pressures off, but then, of course, you're working harder. Let me tell you, the answer, Chris, is really simple on what you should be doing. You may or may not like it, but Chris, where are you located, by the way?
I'm in Southern California.
Okay, were you at the seminar I did recently last month in California?
Yes, I was, and I'm actually, Mike Blasi is partnering with me on this.
Okay, great. Okay, good. All right, well, let me tell you, Chris, here's what you need to do. So you already know my concept about the shoe store and getting shoes in the shoe store, yes?
Yes.
All right. So, Chris, this is what I say to all part-time agents. So any of you on the call that are a part-time agent, this so applies to you. You should not, and in case I wasn't clear, not work buyers at all. What you should be doing only is getting listings in your inventory. And I'm going to say that for several reasons. Number one is that buyers, you have to be in the car to show property. So therefore, on a part-time basis, if you're not available to show them, you're not in the car, you can't help these people. Whereas with a listing, you can have a listing on the market and still be at your other job and still make money. Because, I don't know if I said this in California, that one of our students, his name's Marty Charles Mayon. He's actually one of our coaches too, but he's an active agent. He makes about $250,000 a year. Not too long ago, several months ago, last summer he took 2 months off to go to Greece with his family. And the reason why he was able to do that is because he has like a whole ton of listings. So while it's almost like this, Chris, like he's got a big shoe store with a lot of shoes. And so he took the keys to the shoe store, gave it to another employee, and said, do me a favor, I'm going on vacation for 2 months. I need you to manage my store for me. And you can't do that when you have no listings and you're working with buyers. Are you following me, Chris?
Yes, makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, so you can't now one other thing about that. Part-time agents, what they think is, but if I can make money now, they think working with buyers is quick money because you show them a house, they buy it, and it's sold. Hey, I made money. Whereas a listing, you've got to put it on the market, and it takes a few months for it to sell. But that thinking is so wrong because, number one, that would only work if every buyer you took out, or the majority for that matter, buy after one showing, which they don't. So if you look at the amount of time that you spend in the car showing property, it's really a low return. Whereas if you keep building your listing inventory, all of a sudden you're going to see momentum, you're going to see things happening, you're going to see buyers calling on your properties. You can take the buyers who are calling on your shoes and have them another agent show them houses, and then you get a referral fee. The best, absolute best business model for anybody that wants to make a lot of money with less time in real estate, short hours in real estate, part-time in real estate, is to just every waking moment that you are in the business is build your listing inventory and let the listings work for you. Because the thing about buyers, we're working for them. So listings work for us. Get the listings. Are you with me?
Yes. Makes sense.
All right. Did that help you, Chris?
Yes.
All right. Good. You sure? Because you don't sound very enthusiastic right now, Chris.
No, I do. I am enthusiastic. I did want to mention that I have other agents that are going to be working for our company, and I think they'll be able to do both. They'll be able to work. They're doing it full time. They'll be doing buyers and sellers.
Yes, and I'm going to talk about some buyers on this call too, because there was. Luna, if she's on the call, she had some great questions about buyers. Okay, good. Now, the next thing is, Natalie, are you on the call? Natalie, if you are on the call, Natalie, here's how I can hear you, is you need to hit *6 on your phone. Just do it one time, and that will unmute you. So, Natalie, you are on the call, hit *6 one time, and give it a second for it to kick in. Natalie, are you there? Okay, so Natalie's not on the call, but gang, I'm going to answer her question because she had some great questions. I know this is going to help anybody on the call who's interested in getting better at listings. Her question was, I'm trying to become a good listing agent. What three things would you recommend I do to perfect my listing appointment? And then she asked if I was going to role play a listing appointment for FSBOs, expireds, and then just a regular homeowner. Natalie, I can't role play on the telephone what you would do. You'd have to see it. So maybe I'll consider, I know in my live training programs I do that. Maybe we'll do a video on that or something, but I will give you some tips First of all, here's the three best things that you can do to improve your listing appointment, everybody, okay? Number one is have some kind of visual book. Now, some of you love iPads, you love laptops, all that stuff. That's better than having a folder with stuff in it. I'm not a fan of going on a listing appointment with a folder with stuff in it. The reason why, it's really hard to ask for 5, 6% commission, which is what my average student does, by just bringing a folder with stuff in it. You've got to have something that looks professional. It looks like a business plan. It needs to look, well, keep in mind, most homeowners we talk to think they can do what we do. So you have to right out the gate prove to them, you don't got what I got. And a folder with stuff in it, they can probably create a folder with stuff in it. They can go to Staples, they can get a folder, they can print out stuff on the computer, Microsoft Word, a publisher. They can create a folder with stuff in it. Not very impressive. But if you have a book that says Seller Success System on the front, and you've put it together in an organized, powerful fashion, and on top of that, if you have an iPad with some visuals, with some data, some information, your website, those things combined, really powerful, okay? I would not do a PowerPoint or an iPad the whole appointment because there's a cumbersome in doing that. It's hard to jump in a PowerPoint presentation or slides. You've got to move it, or there's a cumbersome to it. With a book, it's very conversational, but I do think you should have an iPad and a computer to do a little bit in the appointment. So number one is have a visual listing book. That's number one. Number two is the use of stories, metaphors, and analogies. Any of you that have attended my live seminars, you know how passionate I am about that. And if you've been paying attention and you've been doing it, you know it works. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on talking about that now, but you'll notice I did a couple with Fanny when I talked about going to court without an attorney, or going to six bakers and having a baker bake a cake, which, by the way, those of you that I know, we got a lot of California people on the call, and some of you got the library stories, metaphors, analogies, that audio CD. The six bakers technique is in that CD, just to let you know. Okay. So using metaphors and analogies, very, very, very powerful. And I do want to say this, okay? Let's see if I do this really quick. My fiance April, she when she moved which is now our house, when she moved to the area here, she was still in real estate. She isn't anymore. But when she first moved here, she asked me to help her get to know the area and da-da-da-da. So I actually made some FSBO calls for her to show her, here's how you call FSBOs, and because she wasn't, anyway. So I was doing some, obviously she's my fiance, so I'm going to help her. And we went on a listing. She asked me to go on a listing appointment with her, which I did. Now, this, here's the punchline. This listing appointment was an expired, and I went through just a couple of things about broker's open house, public open house, and I think yard sign. I just did those three things. Listen to what I'm saying. She stopped me, the homeowner, and she said, you know what? This is awesome. What you're saying to me, no one's ever said it this way to me. And she listed with us. She listed with us with only me talking about three basic things, broker's open house, public open house, yard sign. But when I explained each one of those, I explained it by using a metaphor or analogy. And I'm telling you, I cannot stress this enough. You guys, if you do this technique by just using a metaphor or analogy to handle an objection or to explain a concept, you're going to sound so different from any other agent. I'm very passionate about that. Okay, now, next thing. So I've said, number one, use a visual book. Number two, get in the habit of using stories, metaphors, analogies. Number three, here's the parts to a listing appointment. When you start to talk about, when you open up your book, so after you've toured the house and you've asked them what they're committed to, where they're moving to, etc., this is how I did my listing conversation. The first part of it is I talked about myself, okay? I had some stuff in there about my certificate, NAR, my local board, code of ethics, and my credibility. So that was the first thing I did. The second section, I talked about my company's credibility. I talked about my broker and how long we've been open, what our market share was. So the first thing was selling me. Then it was selling my company. The third section is a real estate update, meaning that you may want to share with folks. By the way, Chris, are you still there with us, Chris?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
All right, good. I just want to make sure because I wanted to make sure the call didn't get dropped because all of a sudden it got really super quiet, and that's happened before. Okay, thanks, Chris. So, gang, the third section, the real estate update, what you want to do is communicate to the homeowner, you know, here's what's happening in real estate right now. You know, you can pull stuff off of Google, off the news, off the web, your local paper, you know, are prices going up, how are sales, shortage of inventory, any of that stuff. You want to give the homeowner a concept of what's happening in real estate right now. Now, very important piece, everybody pay attention if you drifted. If your market is going up, when you get to this part of the conversation where you're giving them an update, you want to make sure you don't sell that it's a seller's market because they probably have already heard that it's a seller's market, and some of you agents have been telling me, yeah, but Daryl, here's what's happening now. Homeowners think, well, because the market has changed, things have improved, my house is now worth $100,000 more than what you're telling me. So what you have to do is kind of like suppress the good news. You need to present the good news. You need to say, you know, here's what's been happening in real estate, because otherwise they won't believe you. You know, the inventory is short, so therefore we're seeing that the market has hit a bottom. The challenges we're still seeing, though, is that the buyers are still apprehensive. They're still not pulling the trigger. They're still waiting for the more properties to come on the market. There's people talking about all these foreclosures that haven't come out yet. The banks are still holding on to their money. So the point is you want to give them an honest update, but you want to suppress the good news to let them know, like, you know, don't be too arrogant with your price. The last piece, so let me just review. First, present you. Validate yourself, then your company, then an update to the market. And the last thing is talk about here's how you market properties in today's market. And then that's what you go into that section that we traditionally think is our listing appointment, which is when we talk about brokers, open house, public open house, and all the marketing that we do. So those are the four sections of how you would communicate that listing appointment piece. The last part of Natalie's question was, would you communicate differently to a FSBO versus an expired versus a regular traditional homeowner? Here's the difference. When you're talking to a FSBO, you want to sell the real estate industry because they haven't bought into the real estate industry. Now, those of you that are power agents, Once the WordPress fixes the website and you can log in, if you haven't done this already, you need to go to the word classroom after you've logged in. And when you go to classroom, there's a couple of visuals about the USA Today article, the guy, Sobrato, who was the ForSaleByOwner.com, who didn't sell his own property. He listed it with somebody else. There's a couple of things that really help validate that FSBOs do not save money selling on their own. They actually lose money. So the thrust of the conversation is to sell FSBOs on the real estate industry. When you're talking to an expired, you want to explain to them, listen, like in any industry, there's good, better, and best, you know, whether it's doctors or, you know, dentists, whatever. And the same thing is true about real estate. So it's really good that you decided to work with a realtor, just like you would have decided to work with an attorney. But just like in the legal field, there's good, better, and best attorneys. They don't all produce the same results. It's really based on their skill. So you still want to list with a realtor. It's perhaps the one that you worked with just didn't have some of the awareness that I think I do. Let me give you for instance. Now, one of the analogies that I might use with an expired that I've used before that works really good is I would give them my pen and I would give them a piece of paper and I would say, do me a favor, just humor me and take the pen and write on this paper the word sold. And the homeowner would write sold. Then I would take the pen from them, and then I would write the word sold, and I'd make sure it looks different than theirs. I would say to them, you see, you and I both use the same pen, but we got two totally different results. Well, that's how it is in real estate. Like multiple listing, it's a great tool like the pen, but depending on how the agent uses it, they're going to get a different result from another agent. And I believe my results are really good. Let me show you how I use the tool called MLS. So that would be an analogy that I might help distinguish that not all agents are the same. And when you're talking to a regular homeowner, somebody who calls for a free CMA, you want to preempt them being a FSBO, because we all know that sometimes a homeowner will call us and want they'll want a free CMA, or they're just curious, and like they're not a FSBO yet. But then all of a sudden, a couple of weeks later, we see them advertising as a FSBO at the same price that we told them when we met with them. So when you're talking to somebody who's not a FSBO and they're just thinking about selling their house, you want to help distinguish, like make believe that maybe they're thinking FSBO, and you want to squash that. So you do want to spend a few minutes telling them, listen, I appreciate you calling me in to give you a CMA. And let me share something with you before I go through the rest of it. In case you're deciding on selling on your own, don't. Now, I'm not saying this because I want you to list with me. I'm not going to be presumptuous thinking you call me in and you're going to automatically list with me. But what I do want to convey to you, if you do decide to sell, you need to find a realtor that you like and trust, and here is why. And then I would show them the USA Today article where homeowners lose money. I would show them Colby Sobrato, who tried to sell his own property and wound up listing with an agent in New York City. So I would show those things to them to preempt them even thinking about it. Okay, Natalie, that was the answer to your question. Now, is Tomaj, are you on the call?
Yes.
Okay, hi, Tomaj. By the way, gang, here's what I can tell you. Let me just interrupt myself. I know I'm not going to get to the magazine today because I'm looking at all the other questions I have, and which is okay. I usually get to the magazine when I don't have enough people asking for coaching. The magazine is designed to be self-explanatory. I do want to say this much. The tips and techniques, not tips and techniques, but the flyers and some great promotional things and ideas, they start on page 26. The first part of the magazine is a transcription of our top power agent for the month. Page 26 all the way to page 48, there's flyers, there's checklists, there's postcards, there's marketing concepts, there's so much great stuff in this month's magazine. You're not going to implement it all. Don't get overwhelmed. You can easily get overwhelmed with me with everything I give you. So the idea is just look it through the magazine, take one or two items that you think you would like to use and run with that one. Okay, Tomaj.
Your
question was, how do I handle past clients, someone who just sold a house and got the job done in a very good time, a good profit for the seller, but they feel like it didn't work hard enough for them because it sold too fast. So if I understand this, you've got a homeowner, it sold really quick, and they're kind of pissed, I'm sorry if I'm speaking New York, pissed off that that they paid you this huge commission for just a short period of time. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so Tomaj, this is a really great question. Here's why, because most of the power agents on this call, you're in a market right now where it's gotten so much better, and we're going to see more and more houses being sold quickly when you price them right. So what's really, really important how to handle that, Tomaj, is you need to handle it on the listing appointment before you leave that night. That's really the only place that you can handle this. You can't handle it after the fact. Okay, so as far as this one homeowner that you have, just let it go. But moving forward, after you've done what you did on the listing, they sign the listing agreement. As you're leaving, you would say to them, by the way, Tomaj, I just almost forgot to share something with you. This is very important. The serious buyers are very finicky, and so they're always sitting on the sidelines waiting for their dream house to come out on the market. Are you following me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens is when a new property comes out on the market, there is more excitement when that new house comes on the market than any other time. It's almost like, you know, any business, whether it's Google, iPhone. I mean, look at iPhone. You know, when a new iPhone comes out, what happens to Maj? People are camping out the night before the store opens to get it. Are you with me?
Yeah, well.
That's the same thing that happens in real estate. You know, conceptually speaking, there's buyers waiting the night before online, waiting outside in the rain for a new iPhone house to come out on the market. And what we find is it's not uncommon within the first 2 weeks, sometimes the 30 days, where there's a surge of activity and the house sells very quickly. I do not want you to think that we price the property too low. If that should happen, that means we price the property exactly correctly, meaning we presented a good house at the right price, and that's what buyers are waiting for. So if that should happen, that means we did our job correctly. Okay? Any questions?
Mm-hmm. No.
So, yeah, so by you saying that, and by the way, gang, if you missed it, I used an iPhone analogy. If I didn't do that, it wouldn't have made as much sense. So the analogy, and I, by the way, I just made that up right on the spot here about the iPhone. And did you like that, Tamaj?
Excellent.
Yeah,
I wrote it down.
I just made that up. I'm so proud of me. Anyway. But I'm just kidding, gang. So listen, when you commit to the distinction of metaphors and analogies, when you're talking to somebody, you've got to be asking yourself, how can I explain this with an analogy? How can I like talk to yourself, and you'll find something. You'll make it up on the spot. So if you do that, Tamaj, homeowners are going to actually, when it happens next time, they're going to be, Tamaj said it could happen, and it did happen, and that was a good thing, because I explained it as a good thing, okay? The one other piece, Tamaj, I'll say about that, in case you think you would forget to do that, there's two techniques that can help you. Because everybody, listen to me, because the market is the way it is, you need to make sure, it's very possible this is going to happen more and more with your listings, that they're going to sell very quickly. So you've got to handle it. It's got to be part of your listing conversation. So if you think you're going to forget it, here's two suggestions. Number one is create some kind of page in your listing book. So when you get to that page, you can then explain to the homeowner that. For example, you may take a picture of an iPhone and put it in the real estate update portion, like a page that you know you're going to not skip over. Somebody's got mail. So put a page in your book to remind you to talk about it. That's number one. Number two, what you could do is if you're automated, if you're using Top Producer or something where you stay in touch with your clients, have that be like the first email or the first letter that you send to them saying, thanks for hiring me. Here's something I just want to share with you. It's not uncommon in the first couple of weeks, even the first 30 days, a property will sell quickly, blah, 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 blah. Now, putting that in an email or in a letter is not nearly as powerful as you doing it face-to-face verbally on an appointment. So I'm only suggesting that is in case you forget, and that's just a technique. All right, Tamaj, did that help you?
Yeah, very much. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. Okay, now, Luna Petty, are you on the call? Luna, if you're on the call, you better be on the call because you asked me four questions over here. I can do a whole seminar with the questions you've asked. Luna, here's how I can hear you if you are on the call. You need to hit *6 on your keypad one time and give it a second, and I will hear you in a second. But you got to do it one time, *6. Luna, are you there? Luna, are you there? That's funny. Okay, because she asked me four questions, gang. I think that's hysterical. But I'm going to answer her questions because they were really great questions. And plus, that's my promise. I record them so she can listen to it later. I just want to remind everybody, same thing. We got 12 minutes left on our call. And what you need to do is if you want me to help you specifically, you email me a question, and you can email me on the website. It says, ask Daryl a question, and it goes right to me. I will also give you my email address in case you want to just put it in your Outlook or whatever. My personal email is Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, at Daryl Speaks. That's plural. There's no space or dash. DarylSpeaks.com. Now, if you do use that, please don't get offended if I don't answer my emails like right away, because I'm traveling constantly, and when I get it on my phone, I if it's a long answer, I don't like to type on the phone, so I wait till I get to a computer. All right, now, so gang, here's Luna's question. She said, I'm going on a listing point with someone who would rather just walk away and give the home to the bank. How do I convince this person to not let the let them short sale the home? Let me just rephrase her question. So she's got a homeowner short sale situation, but the homeowner just wants to walk away and the hell with the bank and not do a short sale. So let me address short sales and the psychology of it. First of all, gang, a lot of homeowners are under stress when they're in a short sale situation. We know this. A lot of homeowners... they're embarrassed by what's happened. They take some or all responsibility. So what they do is they want to blame somebody. They want to deflect it. So of course they get into a whole conspiracy theory. They yell at the banks. The banks, shafted them. I hate the banks. I'm going to stick it to the bank. Now, whether that's true or not, so I'm not saying that's true or not true or partially true, but I'm saying that that's how homeowners who want to make an irrational decision of just walking away, that's what's going on with them. So if that's what's going on with them, the first thing you want to do is acknowledge and almost agree with them. You want to say, you're right, the banks, you know, what they did that really busted the bubble in real estate in 2006, they were giving money to people they shouldn't have given it to, giving second, third mortgage. It's just crazy what the banks have done, and they really have just messed us up, and now they won't even give money. And then the homeowner will be, yeah, they stink. Well, so you want to get on the homeowner's side. Then the next thing you want to say to them, well, I have an idea. Let me share with you this. The best thing we could do is stick it to the bank, but still protect you. Now, walking away from the house to stick it to the bank is yes, we're going to stick it to them, but you're going to hurt yourself more in the process. So how do we still stick it to them and not hurt you? Well, that's what a short sale is. A short sale is the bank is taking less money on the property than what they owe. So they're going to take thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps, depending on the price. They're going to get whacked. That's a good thing for us. The short sale studies have shown help save a credit score by about 100 points. So your credit score will go down. It'll go down, but it'll go down 100 points more if you just walk away. So that would be horrible. Let me ask you this, Mr. Mazzano. Let's say you got through this. You got out of this house. It's now a year, 2 years into your future. Where do you want to be a year, 2 years from now, ideally? What if you could design, a new life, what would that life look like? Now, you may not say it the way I said it, gang, but here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the homeowner, when they're in the upset of a short sale, frustration, it's hard for them to see their future. They may be frustrated. So what you want to do is get them past the frustration and have them look at their future past the frustration and have that be more upfront for them. So if they say, well, 2 years from now, I wish I could be in a new home with a payment I can afford and my family's taken care of, then I would speak from that vision. I would say, well, John, if your vision 2 years from now is to be in a new home and have your family taken care of and not have the stress, you walking away the bank is and walking away from the house is not going to support that vision. It's going to make it harder for you. So by us doing the short sale, we can stick it to the bank. You can save your credit more, and it increases the odds that, yes, in 2 years you can get into a new home with a payment that would be comfortable for you. So for the sake of your family and this vision, let's do this the right way. So that's my suggestion, Luna. Next question that you had is, I have two buyers who have been looking for over a year and a half. How do I get these buyers to pull the trigger? Well, Luna, I think you should pull the trigger on them. I think you should put a bullet in their... No, I can't say that. All right. I'm just trying to have some fun folks. All right. it's good I can at least make myself laugh. All right. How do I get these buyers to pull the trigger and put in a reasonable offer? Some agents say I should fire them, but I've also pre-qualified them for the loan, so I don't want to walk away from all the time I've invested. Well, listen, Luna, this I got to tell you, this one frustrates me for you because, gang, here's what you need to do. Ah, Maron, listen to what I'm saying. I can't say it any louder. When you were taking buyers out weekend after weekend because you think they're qualified, you think they're going to buy, then you're not working the buyers. The buyers are working you. The buyers are calling you up saying, I got another list of homes I want to see. You've got buyers calling you because they just went on the website and they printed out another 15 houses they want you to call to set up appointments. You are working for buyers. You have the buyers are controlling you. You've got to stop this stuff, gang. It's not good business at all, and you should already know from your own personal experience it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, if any of you are doing that, you need to stop it. Now, I'm going to tell you how to stop it. Number one is you've got to focus on building listing inventory. That's number one. Number two is stop emailing the buyers all these properties that come out. Now, I don't have time to cover this. I hope I don't offend anybody. If I had more time, I'd explain it more to you. But here's what I can tell you. When you set a buyer up on that prospect match or you use listing book or anything like that to email buyers every day, you're actually creating the buyers to be more committed to the process of looking and not buying. So by you doing that, by you emailing them every day, they actually get addicted. Their serotonin level goes up. It's an actual chemical that's occurring in their brain because they get a little surge of excitement of this new email of new houses to look at. You're making them addicted to not buying. You're making them addicted to getting another email. And they know if they buy, those emails of new homes are going to stop. So that's the second thing you need to do. Third thing you need to do is sit down with them face to face. You tell the buyers, this is how I work. I'm going to take you out today. I'm going to show you the best of the best in the price range based on what you told me. If you don't like one of those, then what we're going to do is I put you in a file system, and when the next best house that meets your criteria in your price range, I'm going to then call you. If they say, yeah, but I don't want that. I want you to take me out Saturday and Sunday, and I want to spend the full day with you. Maybe you can buy us lunch, or we'll buy lunch for you. We want to make this a full-time career. We don't want to just go out today and look at a handful. This is what they want to do. You can't do it. The last thing I'm going to say is you need to work the house, not the buyer. You need to find the best of the best priced homes and not take a buyer and show them 10 houses. You need to take one house and show it 10 times. Okay. Oy, oy, oy. I got two more. Wait a second. Chris Bravatti. You had another question. I just found it. Are you still with me, Chris?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, Chris. So let me cover this, and then I'm gonna go back to one more Luna question. So, gang, I may go a couple of minutes over our time, but just hang in there with me. Chris, I'm going to make this, I'm going to bottom line the answer for you, okay? So your question is, Chris, that you're opening up a real estate company and you want to know what are some of the things you should focus on in building, yes?
Yes.
All right. Now, gang, hang in there with me. Now, there's a lot of agents on the call, you say, well, this is a broker piece, I'm not interested. I'm going to handle this with Chris for 2 minutes, but just hang in. I'm going to give you an agent piece about presenting offers, okay? Chris, here's what you do. Number one is, I would look at a list of agents that you want to have a conversation with that aren't working with you yet, and tell them you're creating a new company and you're creating a charter group members of agents who are going to help open up this company with you. So you want to create a specialness that whoever gets in on the ground floor, they're the charter members of this new real estate organization. And because of who they are, you're personally asking them to maybe consider being a charter member because of who they are, they can help shape this new company. Chris, if you present that, people want a vision that's bigger than just a job. So if you present to an agent that they're actually part of creating something that doesn't exist, that will they'll be more excited about that than just working at a real estate company. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so then once you have that invitation, if they take you on, then you're going to sit down with them and the other agents, and you're going to invent the company. Now, you already probably have a skeleton or ideas of what you want to do, but you need to have these agents create this charter ship, the mission statement. What's the commitment? What's the unique marketing proposition? What are we committed to doing in the real estate industry as a organization? You want to create a company culture, in other words, Chris, and you want them to help you design this. Now, if you do that, you're going to have a very loyal group of agents. You're going to have a very powerful company right out the gate. Did that help you?
Yes, you know, that's great because we've got two meetings set up in the next 2 weeks with those type of agents. So perfect timing.
Awesome. Okay, so just keep in mind what you're doing is creating a culture, not a company, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Chris, thank you. Now, last question. This is the last one for everybody. Luna also asked, she wanted to know how to get offers more accepted because there's more competition with buyers because the market is good. Here's the two things that I'm going to suggest for all of you to do. If I need to address this again on another call, I will. But there's two things. Number one is you should be, if you have a good offer and you know you're definitely up against other agents, you need to present the offer in person to the homeowner with the listing agent. Now, this usually creates some battle when I teach this live and I spend several minutes convincing the agents on how to do it. I'm going to give you the 30-second version. What you do is legally is you write on the offer that it says this offer is contingent to, you know, Daryl, your name, presenting the offer face-to-face to the homeowner. So when you call the listing agent, you explain to the listing agent it's the buyer's request that you present the offer face-to-face to the sellers. Now, you explain to them also that, of course, you're the listing agent. You need to be there. I want to be there. Let's work together. Let's get this deal done. If you check your MLS laws and bylaws, there probably is something already in there saying that you have the right to do this and to be present to presenting the offer. So without me spending any more time on this, that's conceptually, you all know that it's better to present in person. You give it to a listing agent. You know what the hell they're doing to your offers. The second thing that you can do is have the buyers write a letter to the sellers explaining to the sellers why they're so excited about the possibility of being the next homeowner in their house. Because most homeowners, when they're selling the house, they see the house as like the deed is like a family tree. They know the owners before them and the owners before them and down the line. And you all who are experienced have seen this happen before where a homeowner had two buyers they could have sold the house to. And even if one of the buyers, their offer was better than the other one, but they couldn't stand that buyer. You've seen it where they purposely sold it to the other buyer, even if it meant less money to the seller, just because they didn't like those buyers. So the letter humanizes the buyer. It connects the buyers and sellers on an emotional level. It also secures the buyer's emotion to the property. So there's a lot of benefits to having the buyers write a letter to the sellers, and you need to present that in person. You read the letter before you present the offer, and then you present the offer. I could actually teach that for an hour on how to do that whole process. That's one seminar all by itself. Any chance that you guys can come to the 3-day sure results, do that because I can get into a lot of the stuff in more detail. By the way, especially California, you guys, I know we have a lot of California people on the call. I'm going to give you a website. Well, everybody, this is for you, and then I'm going to say goodbye in just a minute. MySureResults.com. is a website that we post when my live training class is. MySureResults.com. It's all one word. And the next one we have coming up, I think, is going to be, it's not on the website yet. I think it's going to be July or August, and it's going to be in New York in the Queens area. So that's 3 days, nine to five, where I cover everything. Anyway, so I hope this call was useful. Those of you that are still on the call with me, Tamaj, the ones that we can hear, was this good for you guys?
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We have a lot of thank you. We have a lot of people on the call, but you guys are the only ones that people can hear. So, gang, listen, we've come to the end of our call. The last thing I want to share with you is this, a little motivational piece, okay? It's very easy to get very frustrated when our lives are not looking the way we expect it to look. We have this, it should be a certain way, and we compare what we think it should be with what it is right now, and that creates the frustration. So let me tell you two things. Number one is your life is exactly the way it should be for you to get to your next level. There are no accidents. Whatever you're going through right now is exactly what you need to be going through to get it to have a breakthrough in your life. So don't get frustrated. Accept it and even embrace it. And the second thing is you got to have faith. If you do the right activities, you will reap the rewards. A farmer, when he plants a seed, he doesn't get concerned or upset that it's not going to turn into a crop. He knows that that seed is eventually going to grow into something. So he has faith in that. So have faith that the seeds you're planting are going to produce a nice crop for you. I hope this helped you. Go out there, make a difference in people's lives. They need you more now than ever. Thanks for calling in, and I look forward to talking on the next call, gang. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.